Third Taiwan special episode for the week. Okay, I said I was going to talk about, let's see, what's going on with Trump, with narcissists and depression. You know, I said a while ago that there was a young man whose parents are absolutely thrilled to tell the business, but I'm not going to go into details, even though they want me to. I'm not going to go into details. Young man was dealing with depression. And I talked about this several weeks back. That one of the issues in depression is you've got to keep going. You've got to get up. You got to go to work. It's hard. You're really sad, but you got to keep moving. You don't get stuck when you're going through a pile of manure. Keep going. You know, if you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stay there. You know. So that's hard. And then the other thing I mentioned, I elaborated this much more about depression. It's a two-sided thing. You can never say this to the person. You're not allowed. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's bad. It could lead to suicide if you do. Never say this to the person. But also, a lot of the time, in my experience, in my own depression experience, the person with depression doesn't get out of depression until they tell themselves to get over it. And it's not that they have to conjure up and fake it. And you don't coax them into it. It's just they have to keep surviving and keep getting up and going to work and going to school or whatever and keep moving and keep clean the floor, take your shower, make your bed, keep your life moving, cook the food, wash the dishes, go to bed, get up, keep moving, keep your life spinning. And with time, you reach a place where you finally say, I need to stop whining and get over it. And once you arrive there yourself on your own without people pushing you into it, that's when it ends. And it's really hard. It's like the solution to someone who's dying is to kick him and beat him up. It's like, wait a minute, what? It's counterintuitive, but there's some truth to it. You know, okay, that's an illustration. You don't save someone's life by kicking him and beating him up. But horses and elephants, the mothers kick their babies as soon as they come out. And it seems cruel. But if they don't get the baby up on the feet in the first minute and learn to walk, the baby will never become strong enough and will die. If you don't, it's kick the baby or kill it. And killing is the cruel thing. And it's hard. Life is hard. And the other thing about it is there's blood all over the place. Because the baby just came out. There's blood everywhere. There was a video of an elephant giving birth. All this blood comes out and the baby falls out. And the elephant starts very gently, but kicking at, you know, poking at the baby with her feet until the baby elephant stands up. It's like, you got to get up. You got to get up. You got to get up. Gotta get up. Stand up. Stand up. You can do it. You gotta do it. Stand up. You'll make it. Other factors were telling in this situation, you know, getting the kid's dad involved. You know, have you told your dad you're feeling depressed? Yeah. Let's just talk about it. Yep. Depression is real. Yep. It's real. Okay. All right. We talked about it. You know, dad knows you're not alone. You're not the only one that knows this. Isolation, you know. Isolation's dangerous. It's predatorial. Predators want to isolate, cut you off. And depression is, it's like a predator. It wants to cut you off from others and make you think you're alone. If people just know you're depressed, that right there will help a lot. And then the other thing was telling the kid, you know, when people tell you you're worthless, they're wrong. You are not worthless. You are not a mistake. You are not stupid. You are not mostly messed up. You're not the basket case the rest of us are tolerating. That's not true. You got stuff to work on. Everybody does. But it does not make you special. Everyone's got stuff to work on. And you are not by far more messed up than all the rest of us in just a lost cause. That's not true. Don't believe people who talk to you that way. Don't believe the idea. You're not a waste. We need you. The world needs you to be you. You know, be good, be nice, be ethical, grow, improve as a person. But you yourself, your personality, how you naturally are, is not a mistake. And they need to hear all these things that are true. Well, eventually, the kid's great. He survived. He's happy. And he keeps working. he got fired from a job. That woke him up and made him grow up, and he's more mature and happy for it. And he gets along with his parents, and it's just amazing. It's miraculous. All right. It's thrilling to see it work. And, you know, it happens everywhere in the world. It happens everywhere. And, you know, take it seriously. And I don't know, there's probably a lot more that can be said about it. I'm not an expert on depression, but just those are my personal opinions. That's my experience of what I've seen, and I've seen it work. And really, this kid's really amazing. See, now he's getting so happy, I've got to remind him to not go overboard with stuff. So it's like, okay, you're happy. Remember who you are. You know, remember how you felt. And when you see other people that are depressed, take time for them. See what's happening in the world. Notice what's happening. You know, those bodybuilders, those personal trainer types that are just really awesome and approachable to talk to? It's like, here's this super handsome, strong, like intimidating, cool guy, and he's talking to me. He wasn't always that way. He grew into it. He felt like a loser at one time. A lot of times that's the case. So, you know, share your love and share your story, and, you know, everybody can have an awesome ending if we don't quit. All right. A couple other things. Hong Kong, I said it would turn violent because Carrie Lam withdrawing the extradition bill was too little too late. It was more of an insult, and it was a lot of condescension, and pretty much it's like she withdrew the extradition bill, as she said she would anyway, completely like what they wanted. Okay, I'll do that. And then she just lectured them and insulted them on the other topics. And it goes back to Confucian domination stuff. And they were mad about it. And it's too little too late. And frankly, it was an insult. And it's a sign that one, there is meddling from China, and which is illegal. China gets Hong Kong on the basis that they don't meddle. If they do, deals off. And people are afraid to say this. So, that's an issue. And I knew that with the insults and the insistence that they aren't going to listen to the protesters. See, that's the thing. You know, there was protests over an extradition bill. They wouldn't withdraw the extradition bill. 700 people got arrested. They withdrew the bill, but they didn't release the 700 people. And by now, there's 1,300 people that have been arrested. Number just keeps going up. 15th week. I said it was going to turn violent. It did. Petro bombs. Protesters in the streets of Hong Kong are throwing petro bombs at police. And for those of you in Reed Rapids, a petro bomb is a gasoline bomb. It's much like a Molotov cocktail. All right. Well, Hong Kong is British, so it's called a petro bomb. They're throwing petro bombs. They're Molotov cocktails. Okay, a narcissist. This is an issue. Emboldening the monster. Chinese Confucian culture is. They're like the cat versus the dog. The dog says, this family, they love me, they feed me, they give me a home, they must be gods. And the cat says, this family, they love me, they feed me, they give me a home, I must be God. And the Chinese Confucian culture thinks that way. And so when Trump lowered these tariffs to honor, we'll respect and honor the 70th anniversary of the great and wonderful China and my good friend Xi Jinping, this evil government with terrible human rights violations, currency manipulator, and our love and respect for these good friends of ours who are evil, we honor them by delaying the tariffs, which will go from 25% to 30% from August or from October 1 to October 15. There we go. Like, it's like, does China know that they're being toyed with? Like, that's the one thing. But also, by honoring China's request, China's thinking that they're a god. By letting China, if you really wanted to make the world safe, you'd crash China's parade. You'd rain on their parade. Hey, that's an idea. Maybe all of those, what they call that weather control conspiracy theory that they can control. They keep changing the name for it. I don't know what it's called now, but where they can invent storm. You know, this conspiracy theory that the weather service controls the weather, which is why they predict it. You know, maybe they should send a typhoon over in on China's parade. I don't. Okay, maybe. No. Speaking seriously, if we wanted world peace, we would crash and sabotage China's big 70th anniversary parade and not let them get any heads that are any bigger. You've got to stop it. And when the monster is encouraged, when you kowtow is actually Cantonese. It's from Hong Kong. It means to just bow down and bow down and bow down. It did capitulate and capitulate and capitulate. Someone once referred to Obama as the capitulator in chief. When you bow down to the monster and you let him have his way all the time, it only makes him bigger. The local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, they had a big slander case and a whole bunch of theology disagreements with Walter Martin and the Christian Research Journal. And, you know, Walter Martin wanted truth because truth matters, I think, is their trademark. It's a good, honest debate. But there were a lot of games going on, and then years later, now we got Hank Hengraaff, who's leading this CRJ now, the Christian Research Journal and the Christian Research Institute, and he did an in-depth look at the local church movement and found that what Walter Martin thought they were teaching isn't true. Now they've got problems and stuff to learn, but they're not a cult. They're not a cult. That one point, they were listed as a cult by Walter Martin's when Walter Martin was there. And they shouldn't be a cult. Well, they published a Christian Research Journal edition with big volume 32, number 6. Big old letters on the front page. We were wrong. A reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Lee and Witness Lee. And while that's great to set the record straight, the local church movement is mainly Chinese. And they didn't leave their Confucian philosophy. They didn't check that when they became Christian. They still have that domination culture, and they didn't abandon it. A lot of it's still shame. They've got some of it in there. And when they read our Western news journal that says, or a research journal that says we were wrong, they're going to interpret that like the cat. Oh, they are wrong, so we are God. And they're going to get big heads from it. And their goal is to sinicize the world, but Lee style. They have these things called brother houses where they all live together and they go to their jobs or they sing songs all day. And they want the whole world, all Christians everywhere in every denomination, to stop what they're doing and live in a brother house and get up and read Witness Lee and Watchman Nee in the morning. And buy their books every week, which they take and reshuffle and rehash and reorganize, saying the same things over and over again to keep making. Oh, no, we don't want to say they keep making money. Not like the Amway book and tape side of business. No. So I talked with some people. I actually wrote a review on a book that was talk a little bit about some of the darker sides of that. Very good. Wonderful things. I love this movement. I get the idea of local church, but they've got their own issues. And when we said we were wrong, it gave them a big head. And, you know, China on trade, if we capitulate, that happens. And we just need to know it. We just need to know that it's happening. And likewise, you know, in my own life and in many other situations, I'm continuing to deal with situations where we've got a monster that grew because everybody capitulated. And once you've capitulated and capitulated and capitulated and bowed down and bowed down and bowed down, you've let the monster get ultra big. Now you've got a monster that you fed and it's going to come back. And how do you deal with it? Watch how Trump deals with China. Talking about issues one little tiny bit at a time, making noises so that other people start to wake up slowly to the issues, so they don't have too much shock when the crud hits the fan. Freedom of navigation exercises. We're going to exercise our rights and no one's going to tell us not to deal with it and have them get used to it. You don't want to have the American Navy nowhere in sight and all of a sudden come sailing right through town or through Dodge. All of a sudden, you got all, if the whole cavalry all of a sudden marches through Dodge out of the blue, they're going to think it's an invasion. You got to have U.S. Navy ships out there, around, here, there, everywhere. So it's a normal thing, so it doesn't trigger the nuclear alarms. You know, that's a thing. Freedom of Navigation Act. They sail our American warships past these Chinese islands, and it really irritates the Chinese. But they're used to it, so it's less shocking and less likely to drive them nuclear. So, you know, there's brilliance in how Trump is handling this monster that we created. And a lot of it just has to do with exercising your right to exist and to be respected, to expect reciprocal respect. And Taiwan's government did that, as you can see in the headline behind me. Just this past Friday, I believe the law was passed, or it was the policy was signed. That is the Taiwan special for the week. See you next time.